Yeah. Cross up ready on the building. Got Big Pudge in the house.
Steph Swig in the building.
We on the air like here we go.
Here we go.
It ain't the same no more. People changing up their game mode. Oh, we on the air to let them know.
Let them know.
We got our own station now. Talking about the way the world is now. On the air like here we go.
Here we go.
People changing up their game, oh Lord, we on the air to let them know. We got our own station now, talking about the way the world is.
It's called Talk With Us Radio, conversations about the high low. It's Big Pudge and Steph Swig, two bold brothers kicking down your door. Engage listeners on topic, discussions to bring questions. We got real issues that need solutions. We got so many people that need deliverance. From ISO to the church doors, ain't no more keeping our eyes closed. All these elephants in the room, it's time to take time out with the broom. Instead of sweeping all these issues up under the rug, it's time we unify and penetrate what God's love. From spiritual to political, from astrology to science, from theologian to the Vatican, let's believe in things is happening. This ain't your average ordinary radio show, worldwide, blessed by the God who make the sun glow.
A show that promises to engage listeners in objective conversations and share scriptural truth that transcends one's emotions, personal opinions and preferences as a means to provide practical solutions and answers to real issues that affect real people by discussing a variety of diverse topics and provide thought-provoking answers to questions that we thought we knew the answers to. I just want to talk about stuff people don't want to talk about nowadays. I want to address the elephants in the room. I want to be thought-provoking, open-minded.
We on the air like here we go.
Here we go.
It ain't the same no more. People changing up their game mode. Lord, we on the air to let them know.
Let them know.
Got our own station now, talking about the way the world is now. On the air like here we go.
Here we go.
It ain't the same no more. People changing up their game. Oh Lord, we on the air to let them know.
Let them know.
We got our own station now, talking about the way the world is now.
Welcome to another episode of Crosstalk Radio. I'm Steph Swig.
It's your boy Big Pudge.
We got a great show lined up for you. We got my man Fire Links up in the studio with
in
us today.
The building.
Very special guest.
Yeah.
How you feeling, bro?
Good, man.
We're going to get all up in your business. You trying to be all low-key all and everything. We gonna get you hyped.
All up in your business.
Yeah, we're going to get you hyped. We're going to start with some simple questions, man. So, of course, first and foremost, how long have you been doing music?
Oh, wow.
Your whole life?
Literally my whole life. I started singing from like 6 or 7.
Oh, wow.
My father, he put me out on the stage. It was like a local gospel concert that they were having, fundraiser, and people were so blown away for this little dude singing so well, they started stuffing dollars in my pocket.
Oh, for real?
Them inside my coat jacket.
Oh, wow.
Like, that happened once, and then, like, almost every time I sang as a kid, they did that. That was, like, the thing to do to me.
I should have tried singing as a kid.
That was crazy. Yeah, but both my parents were singers, so.
You got a long line of music in your family, though, right?
Yeah. My great-grandfather actually is in the Bahamas. He's in the Hall of Fame for music.
What's his name?
His name was... He's known as Piccolo Pete.
Piccolo Pete?
Yeah.
Where you from, man?
I'm from the Bahamas, actually.
Yeah, he's like a superstar in the Bahamas.
For real?
Yeah.
See, I would have never thought you was from the Bahamas with the accent. You know what I'm saying?
I couldn't tell which from me. I know you're from somewhere.
Right.
It's because I travel so much, like you... Like you... Your dialect, you got to keep switching up in order to communicate with people.
So what do you consider your main dialect? Because I met people from Bahamas that don't sound like you.
Me too.
I mean, because that it depends on which part they're from. Because we talk different in different islands. Okay. See, I'm more from like one of the cities. I'm from Freeport.
Freeport.
But I lived in Nassau for like 10 to 15 years.
So do they have a different like lingo language?
Yeah, they do. They talk different.
What is it called?
I mean. It's just our dialect. We don't have, like, no name for it or nothing.
That's how they talk.
You know, like Jamaicans, they speak patois.
But they
have to say patois because Jamaicans alone don't speak patois. They're not the only place that speaks patois. No, they are the ones that originated, like, are known for it and originated it.
Okay.
But you have other places that actually speak patois. You have places in Canada that they actually speak patois.
Wow, that's
dope. That's the way they speak.
Didn't know that.
And then you have places also out in the Caribbean, the Spanish places, where the only English they speak is patois.
Wow.
They learn English from patois.
Oh, okay.
So it's not just one dimensional. I mean, Jamaica, it's popular. It's their thing, mm-hmm. but it's spread, so it's crazy. Wow. And at home, we still speak some patois because it's intertwined in our culture. In the Caribbean on the whole, reggae music and mm-hmm. Jamaica is influential. So it's you have bits and pieces of it even in our dialect.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
So, Lynx, I know you said you got up in church and they gave you money. I mean, that probably would inspire me to keep singing. But what inspired you to keep going from that point on? Did you just fall in love with it at that point or what?
Actually, I mean, at first I used to sing for fun. Yeah. I never, like, took it, like, serious.
Mm-hmm.
I was always a lover of music because when I was young, I collected records and cassettes. And so music was always something that I loved. My father, he used to sing in a group, and he was a musician. He played the drums. He taught me how to play the drums. He would just come out of church service. He'd be playing the drums, and he'd just stop playing the drums and tell me to go sit there and play the drums. Could imagine the
pressure.
That was the tense ride.
Exactly. Right. He's like, all that I taught you, now time to put it in
wow.
place now.
Oh, wow.
So it's like it made you step up. And it made me, like, at an early age, be bold. So...
Mm-hmm.
I was never afraid to be on the stage. So it's like that feeling is what made me like more into it. And then when I went in high school,
yeah.
I started singing for the ladies.
Mm-hmm. So, of course.
I had a friend, me and him, at lunchtime and break time. We'd basically have a concert. We'd take one of the classrooms.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time we took like the back classrooms, like way in the back. But we had, like, art or construction or woodworks. Mm-hmm. And we'd go in there. And he'd be to the door as my bouncer. He'd collect the money.
Oh, this is
from
high school?
The girls. Yeah, high
this
school.
This is high school?
Yeah. He would collect the money, and they would come in. And they, like, we had, like, a list, and you request the songs that you want. And I would sing the songs that you want.
I hear what you're saying.
You're a hustler by nature.
So I want to make sure what you're saying is clear. You said you sung songs in the bathroom. And your boy was the bouncer. And they charged people to get in the bathroom to hear you sing in high school.
Either in the bathroom or one of the classes.
Mainly. The class, okay.
I mainly used to go to the classes because the back classes, it was only certain periods you would go there. So it was almost vacant all the time. And I used to be getting paid.
Hey, I hear that. So you've been getting paid for singing for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
Man.
Hustling. I ain't mad at that.
Man, so because you've been in this game, you said since 6, and you're looking, I'm assuming... You're about 36 now, right? So you've been performing for money.
How did you guess he's 36? Out of all the ages.
Because we celebrated his birthday not too long ago.
Oh, okay. Because I know the world wanted to know. It's like, how do you know he's about 36?
Because nobody looks at me and thinks that
right,
ever.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like, that's never their guess.
Yeah, we just celebrated his birthday a few weeks ago here. So
most times I tell them that they drop their jaw like, no, hell no. You're lying.
Right.
You're not telling the truth. But
so, so you had a 30-year span, man. So what were some of the challenges you faced as an artist?
Man, what can I say? I mean, writer's block.
That's a hurtful one.
Sometimes it's the enthusiasm of it. Like, because you've been doing it so long, sometimes mm-hmm. it can make you, like, don't have interest. Okay. Even though it's something that you love,
mm-hmm.
if it's not... What would I say? If it's not giving you the energy that you're used to, that it
mm-hmm.
emitted for you before, the enthusiasm it brought for you.
Right.
Because as an artist, like when you're a creative person, you get bored doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you have to find unique ways to do the same thing, but in a new way. So that would be like some of the challenges. Some of the challenges would be even like getting the music to people, like, in mm-hmm. different circles and different... I mean, because I came from the era it was before the internet, so...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, now I can say it's easier, but... Back then, it was harder. You had to do much more work. Even worse, being labeled as, oh, you're the Christian artist guy.
Yeah.
So, I had to find ways to do music that... Not... Even though, yes, Christianity is my faith... But you don't want to just make music for Christians.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Expound on that a little bit more. Why would you not just want to make music for Christians?
Because in the whole point is I didn't start doing music just with, oh, I'm doing this for Christians, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I was doing music before I was a believer.
Right.
Okay. I did music to inspire people, to make people think, to make people bring change to their life. Mm-hmm. And sometimes not everybody needs to say, oh, I need salvation to be changed, because they're already saved. Mm-hmm. So now they need answers for life situations.
Right. That's a good way to put it. I like that.
So now what? Okay, you told me I'm saved. Now I need to get saved. Okay, I did that. Now, how do I deal with, I want all these girls out here. Mm-hmm. How do I deal with the fact that this ain't making enough money for me? I think I need to go do something illegal so I can get something quicker. Mm-hmm. I still love God, you know.
Yeah.
But this just ain't doing it for me right now. Yeah. Like, who answers those questions? Because me growing up listening to gospel records, nobody answers those questions. Yeah. Yeah. Only thing people tells me is how awesome God is, which he is. Mm-hmm. He's awesome God. Mm-hmm. And tells me how to give him praise and all that, which I love doing. But where's the answers for these questions in your music?
Let me ask you a question. So have you ever been like, have you ever felt pressure from like Christians to conform to like...
That's the only pressure you do get. I want me to tell you the truth?
Yeah. Talk to
me. The time I've been doing music, it's been, I've gotten better business, paid better, treated better from people that are not Christians.
Mm, I've heard that before.
And I have been around most of the big circles in even this Christendom. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, the reason is, some of it is not their fault. It's because it's already learned behavior to act this way. Mm-hmm. Because the reality is, nobody's going to tell you. The truth is this. The average musician, even in church, would tell you this. The church is almost brainwashed to the point where they feel like it's no value out of a musician or an artist. They understand the importance of music now.
Right, right.
They know music helps to basically set the atmosphere for services and stuff like that. But value? No. You don't value them. Like, how are you going to value a minister who come in preaching? You're not going to honor them like how you do. But guess what? Without them, it's a big difference in the service. Mm-hmm. So for a person like me, it's like, I saw those things even at the early age because I always worked on the inner circles of church.
So how'd you deal with that kind of pressure then?
I dealt with it understanding that if I serve, I'm serving as unto God. Mm-hmm. So I almost, in a way, prepare for that to happen. Because it's already something in the mentality of church people, period. Okay. And I understood that, and that's why I decided that even though, yes, I'm faith-based, I have to think about more than just reaching faith-based people.
I agree. Right. I understand, and I agree.
Right. Right.
And I was embraced a whole lot because at that time, I was mainly focused on doing like reggae music and dancehall. And in the culture of reggae, it is more, you have a lot more leeway because, even as a saint, because they have a lot of conscious music.
Okay.
Their music talking about social issues. Their music talking about injustice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Talking about oppression, depression. All these, so they deal with life issues.
Yeah.
So it's almost to the point where, and they are respectable to God. Even those that sing gun lyrics still talk about God.
Okay.
So it's a consciousness there. Mm-hmm. So I was able to use that as a way to even infiltrate into the mainstream music industry.
Oh, wow.
As a Christian. Because I never sung songs that were, oh, yeah, that, I guess that's for the church. We can't.
I feel like that kind of stuff would limit you as an artist, that kind of mindset.
I don't see the reason. To me, I don't see the point of why people feel like you should limit yourself. Because if you're a Christian and you work in an office, not everybody's saved in your office. You have to communicate with them. You have to work with them. You have to make adjustments because of your work environment.
Yeah.
You're not going to say, well, hey, this isn't a Christian company with Christian guys working here, so I'm not going to be here.
I'm with you, man. But they treat you the same way.
Like you don't ask as a carpenter, are you guys saved? Because if this is not Christian people, I'm not building your house.
Right.
Man. It's like they only want to put this oppression on musicians.
I noticed.
I understand because you feel like it's a message we're spreading. But you have to also understand that the artist has to sing about them.
Their life.
They have to sing about what they go through, their expression, their experience. Well, artists, and that's be it good, yeah, bad, sad,
right,
they're or painters, mad. They're reporters, right? Artists, right, are reporters. That's they're it. Reporting what's going on.
So who are you to say, put this limit on that person? Who are you to stagnate their creativity?
That's what the industry does, though.
Yeah.
I understand you be conscious because you influence the minds of people, mm-hmm, and the minds of young people. But mm-hmm, on the flip side, I'm not about to be fake because it's comfortable to you.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I feel you. I feel a soapbox coming. We can easily
get out of soapbox. Yeah, I was about to say, let's go ahead and go. We can all just stand on that for about 10 more minutes. Note,
man, you brought a song in today, man. Can you tell us about your song?
Yeah, man. Funny story about the song. The song was never even a planned song, to be honest. I produced the track, actually, for another artist.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
And when we were working on the record, it wasn't working with this song because it was like, it was too kind of mellow and laid back for the song that they wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
Bear in mind, when they came in, they came to me with the chord progressions and stuff, how they wanted to play it. And then I added to it,
mm-hmm,
afterwards. But they came like with the basic and said, hey, they hummed their song and this, all right, bam. And we worked on it.
Mm.
But after hearing it, I talked to him and I said, man, the song is, it's not giving the vibe for the song. And he had the same kind of feeling. He's like, man, I was feeling that too. Right? I just didn't want to say I know you did all this work.
Right, right.
So it's like, man, I'll work on another track for you. And in that happening, after I finished working on the stuff for him, I just said, okay, let me just play the record. I was just listening to beats, basically. And I said, okay, let me listen to this beat. And as I listened to it, I just got the chorus, like, and I just heard it just in my like head. Just, whatever it is, like you.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And then I started mumbling. And to be honest, I didn't even sit down and write nothing. I just went at it. And that's how it came together.
You did one of them biggie moves, how'd you walk in the studio and just start recording?
Yeah, that happens to me a lot, actually. Actually, that's how one of my albums got the name Prophetic Fire. Because almost all my songs were prophetic. I didn't sit down and write anything.
Oh, that's dope. That's dope.
Yeah, most of them I didn't, like, pen them. Oh, wow. They were just on the spot.
Okay, so you wrote, so this song, so you were supposed to give it to somebody else and you didn't. So you actually wind up putting this whole song. So Like You, what is Like You about?
Like You is kind of me. It's a two-part thing, actually, okay, in the song. One part is actually me having a conversation, like, talking to God, like,
mm-hmm,
this is where I want to be at with it. I want to be 100 with you. I want to be real. I don't want to be faking in this thing.
Yeah, right, right.
I realize who you are. I realize your greatness. And, you know, so it's almost like I'm giving exhortation or praises at the same time as I'm conversating with him. So I'm like, man, I want to be like you because I know, hey, you're able to do this. You're able to,
mm-hmm,
okay, perform these great acts. And that's the type of stuff I want to do. I want to be able to do that with people when they hear my music. I want them. And then, like, the end of it is really me saying, hey, in order for me to do these things like you, there's some changes that have to come about. There's,
oh, wow,
some that's people that I have to let go. There's even stuff within my own self I have to let go.
Hmm.
Because I understand that being around these people, it could ruin my character. It could destroy me. And at the same time, I realize that there are people that even the best of you can be, they're still hating and discriminating on that.
Mm.
So I realize that the point is, I can't, even though, yes, I'm an artist and I reflect who I am on the music,
mm-hmm,
there's a point that even when you sing songs that are targeted to people messing with you, there's a point where you just got to be like, all right, that's enough of that.
Yeah.
Right.
And let's create some happy songs. Let's create something that's going to uplift people.
Gotcha.
So like my last verse, that's really what it was talking about.
Okay.
It was talking about making those changes and letting people go and forgiving people and being able to heal and be like, yo, I realize, yo, it ain't you I'm striving to be like, man. I don't want to be nothing like you.
Right.
I'm trying to be like him.
Right.
So I can't even get mad at you for being you, dog. You hating. That's you. You do you, dog.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm about to do something different because I want to be an influence to people.
Wow.
All right. Well, further ado, man, we're going to get into the song, man. So you can hear, man, Five Links, you know what I'm saying, like you. Check it out.
Straight up.
Yeah.
Tell them just like you. Yeah. I just wanna be like you. In everything I say and do. Straight up. Yeah. I just wanna be like you. Yeah. Yeah. Look. Walls of wild in the sand. Who can form a man out of sand? Only you can. Oh Lord, you're the great I am. That's why I'm gonna follow you. And that's why I'm gonna be just like you. Yeah, yeah. I wanna be my Regina Wingate. Yeah. Let me get the record straight. Yeah. Cause none of us are perfect, but he died on the cross. He thought that we were worth it. Yeah. While we were here in the world, while I was chasing after them girls, faded, drinking liquor till I heard. You heard, he changed me with his words. So I see him late nights, let him in. I gotta see him so much, I gotta get him in. Yeah. Lord, I'm down here on my knees, praying to you, please. I know you can make a better man out of me. Really, I've got to seek you. You're on me. Tell him just like you. I wanna be like you. In everything I say and do. I just wanna be like you. My life like looking in the mirror. Chopped it up with the Lord, and now I'm seeing clearer. You told me don't get weary in my well-doing, and all that bad company, good character will ruin. Yeah, so I surround myself around those people of similar passion, similar goals. Yeah, so I can get where I gotta go. God made the code, I'll switch my life up like an audible. Man, I treasure that like a pot of gold. Whatever Satan stole, I get it back 100-fold. Yeah, I'm talking blessings on top of them blessings. I'm never stressing, I'm reading his word and learning my lessons. And no, I ain't a straight A student, but I get there one day, so don't do it. Shout out my haters and my so-called friends who stabbed me in my back when I was down. Yup, I make amends. Yeah, I no longer hold it against you. I'm even more on point now, yeah, sharper than a Ginsu. See, I don't hate my haters, I celebrate you. Cause I wanna be more like him, or nothing like you. It's real.
And we're back, man. Thank you for that song.
That song was dope, yeah, man. Powerful song. I love it. I love
Thank
it.
You.
That's going to be in my playlist like tomorrow.
Like right here, right now.
Right now. You ride Uber, he's your driver. You're going to hear that
you
song.
You're going to hear that song on Fire Lee's called Like You.
All right, man. So I always like to ask these artists these questions, Lynx, man, because I know you're a guy who's been in music for a while.
Yeah.
Who are your top five artists of all time?
Oh, wow.
Any genre. Any genre. Because we need to know you, man.
Let me think. Man, because I'm such a music lover.
I know, man. So I want to hear your list. I'm really
You got to have at least like a top three. Like, there should be at least three to come.
I got like top 20, but.
But I'm like, yeah, at least two to three got to come straight to mind.
Yeah. I mean, of course, Michael Jackson is an inspiration.
Okay.
I like him because of his creativity. Like,
yeah.
And he always tried to break barriers with his music.
And he did.
Prince did too. Just haven't thought it.
Yeah, I didn't finish.
Are you making his list for him?
I'm sorry.
He didn't even let me get
I'm sorry. I just threw my ad lib in there. I'm sorry.
If Pudge rest in peace,
Prince. That was the next.
We just celebrated his death. You know what I'm saying? I'm still feeling
that
my
was
man.
The next dude I was gonna go to because I was gonna say a dude that can actually act. Who like he was? If nobody even realized this, he was like one of those first dudes that actually was an artist that was also an actor.
They
didn't do in his era back then. Nobody was really acting in no movies.
He
had a whole movie for his album.
Yeah, he did. He
sure How
did.
Crazy
it was
is
a great
that?
Album
yes,
too.
A great, awesome album.
I like the movie.
It was the too. Album.
It was. Yeah.
It was. That made an imprint on anybody doing pop culture.
True.
And
true.
With that rock feeling in it, like he did that. And dude played too many instruments, man.
He played a lot.
He played every instrument.
It's like he wasn't playing with music.
Nah.
He came he to was do it music. Big.
And I still think he's underrated. As much as of course. He's still underrated.
Yeah.
See, because he's underrated because he always makes out of the box.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not all that mainstream stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, yeah, and Pac, I like those dudes.
You realize Pac is one dude, right?
No, I said Pac.
I thought I said Pac. I swear I thought I said Pac.
I thought you said Pac.
Nah,
you know,
man.
Pac, I like all those Pac dudes.
I'm glad we cleared it up because I never heard.
Okay. We did.
But of course, Pac and Biggie. Definitely. Pac, Biggie.
Okay.
Nas.
Yeah.
Jay-Z.
Nah, but go ahead.
You can't call her as a little
I'm
man.
Sorry.
I know why he said Jay-Z. Because
I know why, too.
To me, Jay-Z is a clone of Nas, but okay.
Got
there you
said
go with
Jay-Z.
That.
I can
That's how I
that.
Feel with that.
But I can respect. You said Jay-Z is a clone
of Nas. He is.
I can respect that all day.
The only difference is Nas was more street, so he never went as pop and mainstream as Jay-Z.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Now, not taking away that Jay-Z isn't talented,
but
anybody that says that Nas didn't influence Jay-Z cannot like Jay-Z. It just don't make any sense.
Right.
Because
the
first record he ever released,
mm-hmm.
he used a Nas sample, first of
he
all.
Sure did.
And secondly,
wow.
he used Nas' whole flow.
He did.
In that entire song.
Yeah, he did.
Who didn't know that?
His whole style, everything.
Bear in mind, before I even know who Jay-Z was, I thought that was Nas' song.
Yeah.
I'm not even front with you.
It was like a copy and paste.
Wow.
I literally thought that was his song, mm-hmm. with his voice, like, speed up or something to change the tonality.
The high pitch,
because the only difference with him and Nas is he sings at a high, he raps at a
high pitch.
Higher pitch. That was it.
Right.
But, I mean, yeah, those dudes, I mean, EPMD, I love those dudes back. Nas FX, dudes.
We signed the VH1 thing where everybody started talking about the old music from back in the day. Like,
I mean,
FX, you know?
I loved it. Now, Redman was my dude.
Yeah.
Redman was my dude.
Yeah.
Keith Murray was my dude.
That's what's up.
Wu-Tang, of course.
Oh, that's my group.
All the way.
That's my group. So now I'm chiming in. That's
I'm one of my favorites. Fugees.
Fugees.
Lauryn Hill. Top five.
All right.
That's like top 15 you just did.
Right.
You
but you said he had top
20. No, I mean, huh? No, I'm talking about Jess Hall alone. Oh, she get the top five. She can do everything.
She can.
She's a beast, man.
She is.
But it's too much musicians.
It's a lot,
it's too much for me to even. But those dudes, I mean, like dudes who influenced me, like with hip hop, they definitely did. But in like reggae,
who?
Buju, Capleton, Sizzler, Luciano, Dennis Brown, Bob Marley.
Okay.
It's plenty of them. Terra Fabulous. I mean, I like Shabba too, but I'm talking about like who influenced me when I was doing reggae.
Yeah, yeah.
See, within my era, the type of reggae I liked was what we call a singjay. It's a person that could sing and rap in reggae form at the same time.
Right, what do you call it again? Singjay?
We call it singjay.
Singjay.
And we call a person that raps in reggae a DJ. So, and we call what you guys call a DJ a selector.
Oh, man, I knew that part. Selector, yeah, I hear that all the time.
And then,
growing up, I heard that.
But now they have DJs because a selector is different from a DJ because a selector is a person that's able to play music and able to talk.
So pretty much,
not just talking like I do, just talk on the mic. That ain't what I mean.
No, you're talking about
a selector is like a different craft.
Yeah.
Like they literally mold the way a song comes in.
Mm-hmm.
So they could build a whole scenario. That when that song, when they play that song, it creates a moment.
Okay. I know what you're talking about.
So it's a whole different thing from just a DJ talking.
I've seen my father do just that.
Yeah. You know so that's skill we call being a selector.
Yeah.
And they know what music to put together. That's right. What a selector does. Yeah. A DJ just plays music.
And see, the sad part is original DJs didn't just play music. Like, so I can honestly say... Original DJs,
but they couldn't
call selectors
because they couldn't. Because if you want to be honest, the DJing thing was influenced from the Caribbean before it came to America.
I can't. You got to give me some proof on that one.
The proof on that is this. That's a fact. That's a known fact.
I got to get proof on that
because back then, even with the artists, the reason why, like, the difference between Caribbean artists and American artists was so different in terms of performances. Like, we never needed backing tracks and all those stuff. It's because in order to be an artist back then, you had to actually do things on the fly.
Mm-hmm.
The DJ would play anything, and you had to be able to sing with that.
Okay.
Like, that's before they was recording records.
Right.
You had to make a record on the spot.
Right, I got you.
Which is an inspiration even for the freestyle battling thing. But they did it back then with the DJ or the selector. He would just play a rhythm and you just bounce and create a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, like, they never used to play records the way they do now. That wasn't a thing.
What do you mean? We say they never used to play records like they do now.
They just played, like, it was no... They never had a need to say for a DJ. The DJ thing came when these dudes were doing it with the artists. Mm-hmm. So it was like, what is this? Like, they made... they made the nightlife. That's why it's called dancehall.
Mm-hmm.
The nightlife wasn't just when you came to the club, you just hear music playing.
Mm-hmm.
They turned it into like an event, like a big thing, like different artists coming out and create music on the spot as they play music.
That's dope.
So it's crazy. So imagine you playing a hit record, and then all of a sudden that record just started playing, and you creating a song on the spot. You talking about this girl's shoe. You talking about her dress. You talking. You're doing it on the spot. People like Papa San, who's in the gospel field now, they did it.
Mm-hmm.
Like Stitchy and all these guys. I mean, they could tell you better than me because I'm younger than them. But they can tell you. I mean, I know for a fact. I mean, from what I've read, like the whole DJing inspiration thing, it came from that.
I need proof on that because I have to disagree.
We ain't got time for proof.
I'm just saying. Because I'm like the history I read and I'm like the history I read. It started in South Bronx.
Of course, it started.
Yeah.
But hip hop was influenced by the Caribbean.
Oh, yeah. I'm not saying hip hop wasn't. We was talking about selector DJing, wordsmithing.
Yes,
the actual history. And I don't know how you can debate this because it's like Wikipedia anything. It started in the South Bronx. Now, I ain't saying inspiration ain't come from the Caribbeans. You know what I'm saying? Because originally, what people don't really want to admit is hip-hop originally came from James Brown. You know what I'm saying? But a lot of people won't really admit that. Like, he was the first hip-hop artist. If you think about, say it loud, I'm back and I'm proud. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was the first people to throw a hip and a hop in the actual
movie.
Yeah,
he used to spit on the spot.
Yeah.
He would just come up with something on the
and
spot.
And him.
He did that.
He was actually somebody where he would just, like, tell a band to play something, he just come up with something on top of his head.
Exactly.
And even going further than that, a lot of his beats were sampled by hip hop artists. If it wasn't for James Brown, we wouldn't have a lot of him and Mike.
A lot of Michael's stuff is sampled. A lot of stuff is sampled. To me, man, what's original now these days?
If no, you no. Ask me? Yeah. But that's what's so funny is like they never had a problem with those dudes doing it. The minute the hip hop guys did it,
it was a whole issue.
You guys ain't want to make your own records, and
it's because of
but they're paying homage.
Yeah.
They grew up on these records, and this the records that inspired them to create.
Just don't disrespect the old record by putting something lame on top of something that was golden.
Yeah,
record.
don't.
Yeah,
don't.
Because we've seen that. We've don't seen the old school record come out. Would you say, you know what?
Don't live yada yada. Don't let Uzi Vert it out.
Yes, there you go.
Oh, all right, reeling it back in. So we got a. Now, we got a bunch of questions I want to get through before we run out of time here. So anyway, real quick, what's your ultimate goal with your music?
Well, I mean, I just wish for my music to just be a household name. And that it'll inspire people and, you know, be some... I mean, we have enough stress and strain and fuss in life.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I know when I was younger, when you put on certain records... You might have had a tough day, but you turn that on and
makes everything feel better.
It does.
You just could calm, you could soothe. That's the type of music I want to make. Therapeutic music.
Oh, okay. Therapeutic music. I like that.
I like that too. So who's your target audience? Is it just stressed people or who?
No.
Do you have a target audience?
Yeah, I mean, age demographic, of course, from teens to your mid-30s and all that stuff like that, but... In terms of types of people, I mean, to me, I don't feel like I should put a limit on who I reach because I don't know who's going to love my music.
Mm. Gotcha.
So I don't want to limit that to, oh, let's just focus on these guys.
Right.
I understand there's a age bracket that are drawn to that type of music.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You consider those things, but because you have a focus on, hey, I want to reach this demographic or whatever, but right. I don't want to limit that.
Right.
Even in understanding these are the types of people or this is the type of age bracket or people that like this type of genre.
Mm-hmm.
But I do multi-genre, even though I have some music that I, types of music that I always do, like I always do reggae or hip-hop or pop sounds.
Mm-hmm.
That don't mean that if I don't feel like it, I wouldn't do a song with rock. I wouldn't do the song even with heavy metal. It don't matter for me.
Yeah.
As long as I'm inspired to do it, I do it.
Right. Okay.
I got you.
So, I don't think you should limit creativity.
I agree.
Because you might go somewhere and hear a new sound and be like, man.
Yeah, I want to try that out now.
Exactly.
Got you.
Mm-hmm. All right, real quick. I don't know if this is a question you can answer quickly, but... So we talked about music, and you've heavily, heavily influenced by music since 6 years old. So who are you outside of music?
Man, I'm guessing.
Thank you. I came up with that all by myself.
You sure did. That's all over. Like, that's a good question,
like,
right
that's,
there.
That's all me.
He patting himself on the back, y'all.
That's all me.
That's all me. That's all me.
Well, I mean, hey, me, I'm just a laid back person, man. I'm a laid back, melancholy type of person. I'm not fussy. I try to be like the words say. I try to be content in whatever state that I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to appreciate life and appreciate even the experience.
Mm-hmm.
But that's even if it's a tough one. Like, I try to understand, okay, what could be learned in this? Or what is God trying to show me? Or what can I get out of this? You always try to look at the positive outlook. That's what I try to do.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I enjoy... meeting people, enjoy hanging with people, enjoy fellowshipping, you know, with the body. And I enjoy even beyond music, I enjoy like outreaching, like helping people, like even behind the scenes when it's not for no glamour, no glitz, or nothing like that.
Yeah.
Helping people in that aspect, whether it be feeding people or helping financially or finding work for them, stuff like that. Anything of that sort. I know I believe in touching people more than being superficial about it, but doing it because it's actually your heart.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, even when I was back home, I mean, so many people I used to help. People who may need places to live, like trying to get a vehicle, all these stuff. Like, I would, you know, connect them with people because I know so much people. and get them situated and stuff like that. Like, to me, I think that's making real impact on people and influencing them in a positive way.
I got you. All right, man, we're going to keep it in that same direction, man. So give me a random known fact about you, or unknown fact. Because I know you're pretty open, so it's got to be something that you got to break on our show. Something that people don't know about, Link, so most people don't know about you.
I mean, let me think. Well, a lot of people don't know that I actually was like a pretty good artist.
He was a pretty good artist.
Because you sound pretty good on the song.
No, I don't mean that kind of artist. I mean like drawing and sketching.
Oh, you draw. Okay.
Yeah, like, okay. I did like portraits and sketching doodles and
comics and all that. Too.
Okay.
And then I'm also a graphic designer. Yeah.
Okay.
And I do cinematography. I do a lot of I mainly do a lot of media stuff, to be honest.
Okay.
Websites, photography, cinematography, graphic work, all that stuff.
Oh wow!
Okay. I mean, I'm a audio and video. That's the type of person. That's my thing. Like anything within that vein, I always find an interest in it. It piques my interest.
Dope, man.
Yeah.
All right, so you got a lot of experience, man. What advice would you have for up and coming artists?
Man. First, I would tell them be true to themselves.
That's always good.
Please do not create music just because you think this type of person would like it. Create music because it inspired you, or God himself inspired you.
Right.
Through a situation, or through what you're going through, or through what you see around you.
Mm-hmm.
Create music that could help people and motivate people and touch their hearts, not just get their foot moving.
Yeah. Because
you can do that. That's... Mm-hmm. It's fine to make music like that. Praise is always good. But you want to create heartfelt music. You want to create heart music.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Because that's the music that's going to live on even after you pass.
That's true.
That's music that still could inspire people.
Yeah.
Get you them crowns. Get you them stars in your crowns.
I hear that. I hear that.
See, he's the first person to ever say something like that.
Yeah, stars and straight crowns. Up.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing, man. That's great advice, man. Thank you for coming through. Yeah, Real quick, before you get out of here, tell people how they can get in touch with you, how they can find you,
and they can get a copy of that song, whether to download it or what.
I'll be releasing it shortly. Actually, I'm about to work on the video and everything for it.
Okay,
music video for it, so they can look for it. It'll be everywhere, iTunes, you know, all those Amazon, all online stores. You'll see it. Plus, I'll have the promos up on my pages and all.
Okay, so how can they find you?
I mean, it's simple to find me, actually. You can just Google my name and every single thing pops up.
Gotcha.
And a lot of people don't know, I had a name change. My name was, I was known for years as Mr. Lynx.
Okay.
MR.LYNX. And then I changed it to Fire Lynx. I just embraced the fire, actually. Everyone used to call me Fire. They called me Fire for my performances.
Okay,
I figured that's where it came from.
Yeah, I figured that's where it came from.
But originally, I was called Mr. Lynx. Like, if you look at my older records, all of them are Mr. Lynx.
Oh, okay.
So that's why I still use Mr. Lynx. It's Mr. Lynx, a.k.a. Fire Lynx.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And then, actually, funny fact, I didn't even know there's a popular, even mainstream reggae DJ by the name of Fire Lynx.
I didn't know that either.
But it's not spelled the same or anything like that. It's not the same meaning.
Well, so how do we spell your name for people who look for you?
My name is actually in slang terms. So it's FYAHLYNX.
You got to say it one more time. So I'm pretty sure I got your name spelled
that's
right.
That's F. Y A H L Y N X.
Gotcha.
So yeah, that's how it is.
Well, y'all heard it here. His brand new song released on our show, or premiered on our show before it's even released.
Yep, that's right.
Thank you for dropping that off with us, man. Thank you for coming through.
We appreciate you, man, for coming through and telling your story to the people.
Yeah, man.
Thank y'all for tuning in. We catch y'all next week. Peace.